your life.
So we'll discuss this morning the topic of the permissibility or the prohibition of living in Egypt. Is one permitted to live in Egypt? I hear real estate's really down. It's a good buying opportunity.
Better than Tunisia.
And should one go ahead now? An investment might be a separate question, but on a serious note, living in Egypt, what is the situation? So we mentioned it, it's actually three times in the Torah. You wouldn't be able, by looking at the pasuk, you wouldn't know it's a prohibition per se, but the different, one was in Parshas Peshalach, you shouldn't go back, you can't go back. And in Devarim, there are a couple of cryptic mentions of Egypt. We only know it because the Mechilta, the Yerushalmi, tells us that when the pasuk says in these verses, it's an allusion to the prohibition of living in Egypt. In fact, there's a famous line, whether it's true or not, probably isn't, but people claim, we all know the Rambam, the great Maimonides, lived in Egypt. And the question we'll have to deal with among many other great rabbis, but the Rambam specifically, how is he permitted to live in Egypt? Because if there's a biblical prohibition to live in Egypt. So in fact, some claim, the Kaftor of Aperach claims that he's the one who first visited, he spoke to the Rambam's Einikles about 300 years later. He claims the Rambam signed all his letters, Ha'over b'chol yom shrosha lavin. As I live in Egypt every day, I violate three separate prohibitions, which is referring to the three verses in the Chumash, which is a separate topic, not for tonight, whether you actually, assuming it is a violation, do you violate one, two, or three? But they say the famous language of the Rambam, he writes, I live in Egypt, and what could I do? Ha'over b'chol yom, I'm violating every day three prohibitions of living in Egypt. So it's difficult, number one, to say the Rambam was living in, violated this at Daraisa every day as many years as he lived in Egypt. But even without, from that point of view, we never find one letter where the Rambam actually wrote this letter. We have many writings of the Rambam. We don't find one time the Rambam writing this. And in fact, Avadji Yosef, in one of his tshuvas, when he was asked, not that long ago, when they had the peace treaty in Egypt, so the reporters asked Avadji Yosef, I guess they were Sephardi, they asked Avadji Yosef, are we allowed to go down as reporters to stay in Egypt for a while because of the prohibition? So in his tshuva, he writes about, people say about the Rambam, and he also says it's not true. The Rambam never wrote and did not violate three lavim every day. However, the question still remains then, how did the Rambam live in Egypt? If there's it seems to be a biblical prohibition to live in Egypt, so how was the Rambam permitted to live in Egypt and among many other greats? So there's one answer from the Ritva. We'll see, many of these answers might be good answers, but they're not going to help us with the Rambam. The Ritva writes that when do we say there's a prohibition to live in Egypt? That's when we have the Beis HaMikdash and we live in Eretz Yisrael. So then when we have Eretz Yisrael, we have the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, then the prohibition stands. But Bezman HaZeh, the Ritva's language is, Kol Chutz La'aretz Shaveh. There's no difference. Once you're living in Chutz La'aretz is the same, whether you're living in Hamilton, Toronto, New York, Egypt, it's all the same. There's no special additional prohibition of living in Egypt. So the Ritva limits the prohibition of living in Egypt only when we're living on the land and we have the Beis HaMikdash. So, and that's a fine answer for the Ritva, but you can't give this answer for the Rambam. Why not? Because the Rambam writes, Mutar Lishchon B'chol Olam Chutz Mitzrayim. The Rambam is clearly writing at all times that he singles out Mitzrayim as a separate, that he says you can live anywhere in the world. And he writes Chutz Mitzrayim. So the Rambam singles out Mitzrayim as a place that all the time. It's not limited to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's not limited to when the temple was up. But there's a general prohibition to live in Mitzrayim all the time. And therefore, this answer would not help us for the Rambam. So we have to come up with another answer how the Rambam was permitted to live in Egypt. So others suggest, Rav Castro, the Marikash, says that perhaps, you know what the Easter of living in Egypt was? It's only on the place where the Jews was enslaved. The part of Egypt, which maybe be a discussion which parts of Egypt it was, but the parts of Egypt where the Jews were slaves, that's where the prohibition, but he claims Cairo is a new city, wasn't around during that time, that area, it wasn't Egypt, and therefore, there's no prohibition. The Rambam lived in Cairo, and hence he claims that the prohibition of living in Egypt does not include Cairo. In fact, he wants to bring a proof from Hilchos Gittin, the laws of divorce. What does the laws of divorce have to do with living in Egypt? Because we know when you're writing a get, you have to write the place. So what he claims that they write, what if they wrote a get in Cairo, as they wrote, it was Cairo close to Egypt, Samach le Egypt. And proof is it wasn't Egypt. And therefore he wants to claim, I guess like people write Thornhill, Samach le Toronto, is that what they... However it works, but either way, he claims that it wasn't, that there was no prohibition to live in Cairo, because Cairo was, so to speak, the new Egypt. It wasn't around, it wasn't considered Egypt during that time, and the special prohibition is only where the Jews were enslaved. However, if you look at the Rambam, and the Rambam talks about the borders, the parameters of Egypt, it doesn't seem, he seems to include that whole area, so it's hard, again, it's a good answer, but it won't help the Rambam because the Rambam seems to include Cairo in his definition of Egypt as well. So we're back to our problem, what does the Rambam do? So we'll suggest a third explanation. There's a famous answer from the Sefer HaYoreim, Reb Eliezer Mimitz, one of the Rishonim. He has a very interesting take on it. He says, the Pasuk says, don't go back by Derech Hazeh. So the Sefer Yoreim points out the Isser of going, the Isser of living in Egypt, of going to Egypt, is only going from Israel to Egypt. That the prohibition was from Israel, if you're in Israel now, then you can't go to Egypt. But from Morocco to Egypt, or from Canada to Egypt, or to America to Egypt, that would not fall under the prohibition. In fact, it's hard, In fact, some of the Rishonim even say even more than that. They say not. They limit the prohibition. They claim, and one of the Ethiopians who claims he took the Ethiopians back to Egypt, or when he was passing by, so he wrote, and you know what? I made sure not. So someone is saying the prohibition is specifically. The way the Jews left Egypt to go to Israel, that's the only time it's prohibited. And in fact, so he writes, and I made sure that when we went from Israel to Egypt, I didn't go back the same way the Jews, I guess it's pretty hard to follow. What's difficult is, number one, to say you have to go, the whole route, who's going to take that? I don't think the planes are going to take that route. But the route is difficult because, number one, it says, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, the Anshe Alexandria, they were punished because they went back to Egypt. It's difficult to say they were such lahachis that they took out the map and say, let's go here. How did they? So it's pretty hard to say that they went back that route. But you have those Rishonim who say the Yisr is specifically from Israel to Egypt, and not only that, but specifically that route. Again, it's a potential terror. It's difficult in its own right, but you can't say that in the Rambam. Because why could we move into Salamdis now? Why can't this be shot in the Rambam? Because according to the Urayim, what is the prohibition of Egypt? The prohibition isn't necessarily living in Egypt. The prohibition is going, it's the way you go to Egypt. And therefore, you can't say that shot in the Rambam. The Rambam holds the Yisr as Yeshiva. As he writes, Mutter Lishko Machal Olam Chutz Mitzrayim, but he writes that the Rambam writes that one who violates this prohibition and lives in Egypt, he does not get a good old-fashioned whooping, no makas, no lashes. Why? Because the Rambam says it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. It's defined as a lav. In general, to get a punishment, you have to do an action. So the typical lav is you do an act and you get the punishment. The Rambam writes, but the Rambam's kiddush is this is a lav she'ein bo maisa. But everyone agrees if it's a lav she'ein bo maisa, the Gemara tells us it's a negative prohibition that you violate passively. You do not get a makis for it. So how is this a lav she'ein bo maisa? So the Rambam writes that, you know, there's sometimes it's permitted to go to Egypt temporarily. He gets into Shlomo HaMelech and all that, but basically the Rambam writes is for business matters. If, let's say you have to make investments, you got to go to Egypt on business, it's permitted to go down there temporarily for business. But you can't, as long as you don't stay there permanently. So you have, according to the Rambam, let's say someone goes down for business, you know, he's temporarily, and he ends up staying. So that's a lav she'ein bo maisa, because he went down when it was permitted. So when he violates the lav, there's no maisa, he's already there. And in general, that's the definition of a lav she'ein bo maisa. If there's a way that you could violate the aveira without a maisa, so even if one doesn't act, we still, in terms of classifying it as categories, it's defined as a lav she'ein bo maisa. To be considered a lav she'ein bo maisa, the only way to violate this aveira is through an action. If you could violate the aveira through an inaction, so even if a person did an action, that's a discussion, but that seems to be the Rambam's definition of a lav she'ein bo maisa. So we see the Rambam clearly writes the Isser is living in Egypt, not because he says you could go down, it's 100% permitted, you're going for business purposes, and then you violate the aveira by staying there. So it's nice according to the Urayim, but that answer won't help according to the Rambam, because the Urayim learns the Isser is traveling, is the way you go to Egypt. That's the problem. But according to the Rambam, clearly the problem is living in Egypt. So therefore, we're back to an original question. We need an answer for the Rambam. Yeah. For business purposes.
Business or temporary business, but on the same route?
Yeah, according to this opinion, the route doesn't make a difference. According to the other answer, you could stay permanently as long as you take a different route. But according to this answer, routes irrelevant, which airline you fly, whether you go by camel, you go by car. This answer is focusing on, according to the Rambam, I'm saying, according to the route, then it's, you know, it'd be a problem. It'd be how you go back, not that you're there. According to the Rambam, the problem is you're there, not how you got there. We don't really care how you got there. So, therefore, again, so according to the Rambam, it doesn't help us. According to other rabbis, maybe they accept some of these reasons we've given. But according to the Rambam, we still need an answer. Well, how did the Rambam live in Egypt? He seems to be in violation of the three lavim, or at least one of them. So, Jeff.
Rabbi, excuse me. This is a kasha on the Rambam. What he wrote.
Right, the kasha is the Rambam we know lived, fact of life, as far as we know, Rambam lived in Egypt.
But according to his own...
We want to give an answer, how according to the Rambam could he live there?
Okay.
There are other rabbis, so maybe they help from the other three answers we gave, but so far we have no justification for the Rambam yet.
But then according to how the Rambam signs his letters, it's not relevant here.
No, we're saying it's not true.
Okay, it's not true. It's still a kasha on the Rambam.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, we're just saying whether he signed his letters now, we still... We're saying he didn't sign the letters. We're assuming he didn't violate the Averis. So we're trying to explain we're assuming the Rambam did not live in sin.
Oh, the Rambam believed he did not live in sin.
Exactly.
Because we're assuming that.
Yeah, that's what we'll get to.
Apparently he's not defending himself.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay,
nor does he ever. So answer number four. So we know there's a prohibition in the Torah of marrying a ger mitzri. We don't accept a convert from the Egyptians. However, the Rambam and others write about Bisman Hazeh, that's no longer true, because we all know about the ethnic cleansing of Sancheirev. Sancheirev Melech Asher, he wanted to control the whole world. So what he did is, he figures if everyone's a refugee, They won't feel comfortable, and I'll be able to control the whole world. So he mixed everyone up. He took the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Iranians, everyone. He mixed everyone up. And today we no longer know who's in Mitzri, who's any other race.
Some people say you can't kill Amalek.
Yes, in fact, well, that doesn't work for Amalek, but that what you're referring to, that's also as well, the Rambam writes about the Zion Amimim as well, that there's a mitzvah to destroy the seven nations who were worshipping idols and lived in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam writes, the mitzvah no longer applies because we don't know who the Zion Amimim are. We don't know who they are because Sanskrit mixed up the questions. How do we know who Amalek is? That's a separate year when we get closer to Purim. But the question, the next line, the Rambam says, and you have a mitzvah to kill Amalek. So that's the question. The Minchas Kinechas, how do we know who everyone, we don't know anyone else, but how do we know Amalek? So that's a separate year. But we see that Sancheirav mixed up the world, and therefore we don't know who a Mitzri is. Therefore it's permitted to marry a Mitzri. So comes along the Pre-Chadash and others who say, if that's the case, we could say the same thing here. This guy, the same way we say, since Sancheirav mixed up the world, we don't know who Egyptians are, so these Egyptians aren't Egyptians. So therefore we could say Egypt isn't Egypt anymore because the people aren't Egyptians. And therefore he said there's no problem living in Egypt today because we don't even know if they're Egyptians anymore. That's what the Pre-Chadash writes. However, I get a very nice answer, but it won't help the Rambam. Why won't it help the Rambam? Because what do we see according to the Pre-Chadash? What is the Isser?
Living among Egyptians.
Yeah, the issue is on what I'll call the Gavra. It's on the individuals. The Isser is living with the Egyptians according to the Pre-Chadash. But like explaining, like what's the difference? Why is Israeli security much better than North American security? There are many reasons, but one basic reason is because when Americans and North Americans, they check the chefsa. They're just checking for bombs. They don't check. But Israeli check the people. They do profiling. They know exactly who they're checking. So similarly here, that the Rambam, the Pre-Chadash holds the Isser is on the Gavra. But I'm going to prove to you the Rambam holds the issues on the Chefsa. The Isser, according to the Rambam, it's not the people, it's living in Egypt that's the problem. How do I know that? Because the Rambam tells us that, let's say someone else took over Egypt. So he goes to a base, if the Jewish people took over Egypt, there wouldn't be a problem to live there. But he goes on, if any other nation takes over in war and conquers Egypt, the Rambam claims the Isser is still omed, the prohibition still stays. So we see, according to the Rambam, it's nothing to do with the people, it's the land itself that's the problem living there. And therefore, it's a nice answer for the Pre-Chadash that we don't know who the Egyptians are today. Even if that's true, it wouldn't help us, according to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds the Isser is the yeshiva, is living in Mitzrayim. And in fact, they point out, Al-Pi Kabbalah, they like writing another reason. Nothing won't necessarily whether it helps with the Rambam or not. It's academic, but they write is because this for the Jews being in Golas, it's a reason why we're in Golas. So we go to all the different lands. We're in America now, Canada, but basically there's different things in Golas. Al-Pi-Kabbalah, you could get out. You could get the Nitzotzes from any place. You could get some good things out of. So what the Baal Kabbalah write, the issue of going back to Egypt is no. There's no point in going back because everything we got of Egypt, we already need what we need for the Gula is out. And that's why there's an Isser going back to Egypt. But getting back, so we have four potential answers that don't help us for the Rambam. The question, how did the Rambam live in Egypt? It's a biblical prohibition. It's number one, we suggested, like the Ritva, that only applies when you have a Beis HaMikdash and the Jews are living in Israel. But now, Bizman HaZeh, Kol Chutz La'aretz Shaveh, that doesn't help us for the Rambam because the Rambam writes, answer number two of the Mari Kash was that the prohibition only applies to the place where the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. Cairo was a new city, like you write in the Getz, Cairo, Samach, Egypt. Again, the Rambam's definition of Egypt doesn't seem to say that way. The third answer we suggested was the Isser is going, is the Derech, but the Rambam writes, it's a Lav Shein Bo Mais, it's clearly living in Egypt. The fourth possibility, the Pre-Chadash, it's the Isser on the Gavra. We don't know who the Egyptians are, but the Rambam clearly doesn't write. He writes, even if someone else took over Egypt, it's still us. So we're still back to the Rambam. So probably, I wouldn't have a share if I started off with this, but probably Alibi de Emes, the reason why the Rambam lived in Egypt is because he had no choice. He was the doctor for the people in charge, and if they would have left, they would have killed him. So he was basically an onus. He was basically out of his control. In fact, as they say, a ma'aser with Rav Chaim, that you know, the brisker spent a lot of the times warning the Rambam. There's a famous story, they say, so when Rav Chaim went up to Shamayim after he passed away, so immediately, of course, he went over to the Rambam, and he said, I have two Rambams I just could not figure out. So he goes to the first Rambam, and the Rambam gives him this whole tremendous explanation. Oh, great shot, I love it. Then Rav Chaim said, I have one more Rambam I don't get. So the Rambam says, oh, that was a printing mistake. So he slaps the Rambam across the face and says, that's not the way you learn a Rambam. But the joke being is, it's not always the most exciting pshat, it's the emes pshat. So the truth is, the reason why the Rambam probably lived in Egypt, he was stuck there. He wanted out of there, but what could he do? They would have killed him if he left. So he waited for the opportunity, and that's why. So he was not violating any of areas. He was an honest. It was out of his control, and therefore he was stuck there until he was able to get out.
Okay, I have a question, which is, Egypt is no longer mentions that it